This is HNN.
Good evening. This is HNN. The Hollow Table News Network is your not even remotely close to around the clock Star Wars, Galaxy of Heroes news reactions, reviews, theory crafting, and more source. I'm Faith34, your host, and today we're joined by our all three distinguished co-hosts again. It's been a while, especially since Howie. He's been learning ways of the Force. Is that what you've been up to? Or
I've been on a quest. Taken me far away to galaxies I have not yet been to, but I'm back.
Did you learn anything? Or
maybe not. We'll see.
Okay, well, that sounds like a deep answer. And Sarah, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
And the illustrious, as always, Sir Georges. How's it going, buddy?
Greetings. Glad to be back.
And this time we're super pumped for our special guest tonight, the game changer extraordinaire, Miss Passiert. Welcome.
Wow.
We're super happy to have you on.
I'm super happy to join you guys. I don't know if extraordinaire is quite the appropriate adjective, but
it is.
You know,
it
hey, is. Absolutely. I'll take the compliments where I can get them, right?
Good. Perfect. Good. Yeah, no, we love the channel, and thanks for joining us here today as we ramble on and set us straight when needed, because I'm sure we'll need that. Did I get the Passiert right, by the way, or is that,
yes,
like
actually,
way off?
Actually,
okay, all right. The actually is, I'll take that.
Surprisingly. Correct.
Excellent. Well, we'll dive right in here. As always, we'll start the show with your HNN headline news, and today we have six headlines. And number one, we'll start with the biggest news of the past couple weeks, the B-28 Extinction Class Bomber. All right, who's excited for that tomorrow?
I am.
Okay, all right, yes. I knew. There's never one that you're not excited for, Sergi, so I like it. But Howie, do you want to go over his kit for us here?
I don't have a kit pulled up. Sorry, guys.
Oh man.
Try it off. Pass it off to someone else. Early.
And don't even know where it is.
You want to take it, miss?
Geez.
You want me to read it? I've got it up actually right now on my
Great. Thanks for joining. This is awesome. I mean, Howie doesn't let us down. And the new guy gets it.
I was looking at the B-27 bomber. The B-28 was just off my radar. Old edition here, sorry.
That's the outdated model. You gotta get
last year's model.
That's too old. Yeah. That's older than the older public.
I got a great price on it though.
That is important.
Okay, so let's go over its basic ability first here. The basic ability deals physical damage to the target enemy, and on a critical hit, the B-28 gains defense up for 2 turns. The unique for the ship is the first time another Sith ally takes damage, and any time another Sith ally drops below 100% health, the B-28 gains taunt for 2 turns. While taunting, the B-28 gains plus 25% crit avoidance.
And good against the Geos.
Mm-hmm, and the special ability gained from its pilot, who shall remain unnamed for the time being, deal physical damage to all enemies and place concussion mines on them. After 1 turn, these concussion mines explode. Concussion mines are very similar to what are they called?
Thermal deaths.
Yes, yeah. Thermal detonators. My game just locked up on me. Go figure. Congratulations, missed. You failed. The reinforcement ability, hold on, let me see if I can pull this up real quick. I happen to have the forums up as well, so let me pull up the reinforcement ability, since that is the only ability we have not explained yet. Okay, so the reinforcement, upon entering battle, place 2 concussion mines on all enemies, which can't be evaded. After 1 turn, these concussion mines explode. While the B-28 is active, Sith allies recover 5% protection anytime a concussion mine explodes on an enemy. A concussion mine deals damage equal to 10% of the target's max health and dazes the target for 2 turns when it explodes and, like thermal detonators, cannot be dispelled.
Which is nice. Thanks. So, quick side question here. Do you have this? Are you able to use it right now, or does that not unlock for you until the event starts?
So I have it on my test account. It looks like I'm going to have to restart in my emulator real quick. So Yes, I do have it on my test account.
What are your first impressions?
Do you want my first impressions, or do you guys want to talk about it before I ruin everybody's?
Okay.
I think we know your first impression now.
and your second.
Best ship ever.
Yeah.
OP for sure.
I meant make everyone's dreams come true.
Okay, I'll go first. I'll talk about it. So the basic is a bit lame in that only on a critical hit will he gain defense up. Because when you're fighting Geos that have crit avoidance, or you can't buff them with mods to have high crit chance, I wish it was just always he'd gain defense up. But then the fact that he brings a completely new debuff with concussion mines, I think that's really exciting. And I think that a strong P-28 bomber is going to be a great counter against the Geonosians and against a Tarkin lead. Specifically because of the days for two turns that the concussions mines cause. You put those on a whole team of Geos, they can't get those assists. So if you get that on Geonosian soldier, he's not assisting anymore. And when they kill one of your units under a Tarkin lead, they don't get that bonus turn meter. So I'm really excited that this might be a really good counter to what has become the best, easily, ship meta with Geonosians.
Excellent. Now Mist shut him down. That's how I see it for me as well. I mean, some of those, and it also seems like a ship that we're waiting for that Sith capital shift, whether it's Nihilus or whatever it is, to add to it, that we're missing a piece or two.
Malak.
But this, yeah, there you go. That'll work. Wait, was that inside? No.
No, absolutely not. That's pure speculation.
No, I think that's a solid one to put that on there. But just like Sergio was saying, I like the concussion mines, the thermal debts. You know, they're not like super useful or meta, but they're a fun other mechanic to use, I guess.
Yeah, because you can't. They're similar to thermal detonators, even though since it's ships, it works completely differently. But they, from what I've seen, these mines can't be dispelled. So you have to wait until it goes off. A unit gets dazed to try and cleanse the daze debuff, because you can't cleanse the mines themselves.
I'm just gonna be curious to see how tanky this ship is gonna be. If it does get taunt, it comes in as a reinforcement, puts two mines on every single enemy, and can add additional ones with its unique and additional ones with its special. If you don't kill this thing quickly, it could really become a problem late in fights.
Yes, but one of the flaws that I'm seeing, notice that neither his basic nor his special cause him to taunt. It's only when another Sith ally takes damage or another Sith ally drops below 100% health. So if he's the only Sith out there, then he never taunts.
Very true.
And it's only on top of that the first time a Sith ally takes damage. So yes. You can keep hitting another ally, and it's not going to matter anymore.
Yes. So it will matter, I guess, at the start of battle, because, you know, the enemies, they're going to do, like, say we're fighting the meta. Tarkin does his AoE. That'll immediately put taunt up. So that's good, but we'll have to see how it plays out.
Hmm. For sure. All good points. All right, Miss, fill us in. What's the real answer for now?
Okay. So the one thing you have to keep in mind with is, as a tanking ship, usually those are slower than most of the attacking ships, which means that by the time he has an opportunity to place all of his mines, which can be resisted, which in the current meta is kind of crap, because like you said, you can't mod your ships to increase any particular stat. So you find yourself in this issue where ships have a very consistent tendency to resist when you least need them to, so it's still very RNG dependent on whether you will actually land these concussion bombs on the other side. So you're basically left kind of, you know, waiting for the first turn, and then you have to land those concussion mines, and then those concussion mines explode after one turn. So with the Geonosians being fairly quick, there's a chance that they're going to get most of their assist abilities off before you even get the days landed on them. The primary benefit of having the concussion missiles out there will, like you said, under a Tarkin lead, prevent the counterattacks on any reinforcements. It also, like you said, does good things as far as preventing turn meter gain, which is very, very important in ships, especially because you don't have too much turn meter manipulation. So what little bits of turn meter manipulation there are very important to prevent. The other thing to talk about here with its, I guess you could say the issues here with the ship are its health. So fully geared out 7 stars with a 7-star gear 12 plus pilot, it has 84,333 health, 64,893 protection. To compare that to the Sunfax ship, Sunfax with a full 7 stars, gear 12 plus pilot has 94,445 health and 65,195 protection. So it's not as tanky as Sunfax, who I think is kind of par for the course as far as tanks go. About the only ship that I think might actually it's not even tankier. It's not much tankier than Slave One. So Slave One has 96,000 health with a gear 12 plus pilot, but only has 23,908 protection. So it does have significantly more protection than Slave One, but not much more health. Houndstooth, talking about another common tank in the game right now, probably one of the tankiest tanks in the game from what I've seen so far, 90,000 health and 72,900 protection. So as far as tankiness goes, not exactly the tankiest ship out there. Unfortunately, like you said, on the basic, it doesn't always gain defense up. I would have liked to see that aside from, you know, getting crit chance up. So which basically, and then like you said, it only gains taunt when Sith allies take damage. So you're almost forced to invest in Sith Fighter, which I've long said is the crappiest ship in the game. I am not afraid to point that out in any way, shape, or form. It's a worthless ship. It can't crit, which means it has zero synergy with one of the only other Sith ships in the game, the Scimitar, which increases Sith allies' crit chance. So I think the Sith Fighter is garbage, so you're left using the B-28, hopefully, with the TIE Advance, so Darth Vader's ship, and Scimitar. You do gain the benefit from Scimitar with a B-28, so B-28 does actually have significantly more synergy with the Scimitar with that crit chance up. So as long as you're using the Scimitar, B-28, and the Invader's ship, you are going to get the most bang for your buck. Now, the downside of all that is, where do you put the ships in? Do you put them as your starting three, or do you use them all three as reinforcements? And if you're going to use them as reinforcements, you have to remember that you can only call in a reinforcement every other turn with your capital ship. So the speed at which battles go right now in the current ship meta, very rarely do you get all three reinforce, or even all, well, very seldom do you get three reinforcements out, very much less all four. So it's going to take
and survive together too.
Exactly, exactly. So, I mean, if you throw out Vader's TIE fighter, is it going to last long enough for the B-28 to come out and make a difference? If you throw out Vader's ship in the starting three, then call in the B-28, and then are you going to have are both of those ships going to survive long enough for you to call Scimitar in? And then the other thing is, when you call in Scimitar, do you force the focus on the B-28? What is nice, though, with the B-28 is because it is Sith, it does gain the maximum benefit from Scimitar's special ability that kind of does that passive taunt by putting everybody else in stealth, which if anybody out there is not, you know, remembering exactly what that ability's text reads. Target ally gains protection up 50% and retribution for two turns. If the target ally is Sith, this is where the B28 gains the maximum benefit. They also gain crit hit immunity, which is going to be crucial considering it's not as tanky as we would like it to be,
right,
for two turns, and all other allies gain stealth for two turns. The unique that the scimitar has with it that is also very important for Sith allies is the stealth allies have, or sorry, that's not what I'm talking about. It's the reinforcement. Whenever you do the reinforcement, okay, grants all allies plus 25% critical chance until scimitar is defeated, doubled for Sith allies. So basically, every time the scimitar comes into battle from reinforcement, Sith allies gain 50% crit chance, which is going to be crucial for the B-28 Sith bomber. You do not want to have your scimitar in your starting three, basically, is what the scimitar's kit lends itself to. It's an interesting kit. I would probably say that the best setup is probably going to be putting the B-28 Sith bomber and Vader's TIE fighter or TIE advanced in the starting lineup with another ship, maybe the TIE silencer. I'm a big fan of the silencer in a starting lineup because it's extremely fast. It has the stun on basic and does incredible damage, so it can kind of give you that early crowd control to gain an advantage over your enemy. And then throw your scimitar in as your first reinforcement. Put that focus on the B-28 that helps with that passive taunt that tends not to go off as often as you'd probably like it to. And then also gives itself 50% crit chance, which means that the first time it counterattacks is going to gain that defense up, which is going to be extremely important. So that's kind of my initial thoughts. As far as the pilot goes, I think we kind of got shafted on that deal because the pilot is the Sith Marauder. Logic would dictate that you would probably want that to be the Sith Trooper because everybody has a Sith Trooper. Everybody should have the Sith Trooper at 7 stars, probably geared up. I know mine is gear 12 because I use him in my Sith Triumvirate arena squad. So I feel like they kind of gave us the short end of the stick by putting a newer character as the pilot that very few people likely have at 7 stars with all the other cantina farms that we've been forced to focus on. So unfortunately, in my opinion, I think the pilot was a poor choice. The ship looks like it could be good, but you have to have the right supporting cast around it.
Nice. One side note here, you fit in nicely here. We just like to go way too deep into these kits here. That was perfect. That's what we do here. That's what podcasts are good for, and like the YouTube being like whatever.
Well, there you go.
Minutes or something.
You guys just got the entire voiceover that would have been on whatever video I would have probably.
Good, that's perfect.
Very nice.
See, now people can do it on their way to work instead of like trying to watch it on their phone on the way to work because that's less safe. So you save some lives, I believe.
Hey, don't text and drive.
Okay, so.
Oh, nice. That's perfect.
I have some other theories about how the ship can work. You made very good points. But I'm curious, haven't been able to play with it, obviously, but have this with the Sith fighter and the scimitar in your starting lineup, the Sith fighter will go fast enough that it can attack an enemy. You might need, I don't know, I like how the Sith fighter, when you get an enemy below full health or something in the kit, it gives all your Sith allies speed or turn meter. And I experimented before about using the Sith fighter to give your... I had Sith fighter, TIE advanced, and the scimitar in the starting lineup. I was able to use the Sith fighter and TIE advanced to do enough damage on one of the enemy Geonosians so that they all get turn meter. Scimitar was able to go before the enemy Tarkin, and it caused an interesting start before the Geonosians or even the enemy Tarkin got to do anything. I'm now wondering if there might be some good synergy here where if you can get your Sith out the gate quickly enough to take an enemy below or to dip them under their full health, that you can then have Scimitar immediately put the retribution and crit immunity onto this new B-28 bomber so that before anything happens, you've got your team stealthed, crit immunity, and retribution on your bomber so that right from the start, you can have a good defense against the Geonosians.
So I think I would probably still want to put Vader's TIE fighter out instead of the Scimitar just because of that huge benefit that the Scimitar gives to Sith allies when it gets called in on a reinforcement. Right. That 50% crit chance is massive. It's one of the best reinforcement abilities, in my opinion, in the game, that is as far as buffs, because it's a flat 25% crit chance to all allies, and Sith allies gain double that, so 50. And with the Sith bomber's passive, if the enemy attacks any other ship, so you've got three Sith out there, the Sith fighter and Vader's TIE advanced, the first time that each of those Sith allies takes damage, so if they attack Sith fighter, Sith bomber takes starts taunting. If the TIE advanced takes damage, the Sith bomber starts taunting. So you've got that easy mechanic to prevent that first wave of decimating your Sith fighter or your TIE advanced. And like you said, I am looking at swarm tactics. So I haven't looked at Sith fighter's kit in forever because my first impressions were just so terrible that I was like, okay, I'm just going to pretend this ship doesn't exist. But you're very right. Whenever an enemy falls below 100% health, all Sith allies gain 25% turn meter. Sith fighter can't score critical hits. That doesn't matter. But at the very beginning of this ability, this unique, the first line is Sith fighter's attacks ignore protection against debuffed enemies. The problem here is that you have to get at least one hit off on an enemy to debuff them so that you can ignore the protection and bring that target below 100% health. So it's to get that speed boost to your Sith allies is kind of difficult. So it is a game of cat and mouse here, where like I said, there's so few ships that give turn meter manipulation, either through granting allies turn meter or stripping enemies of turn meter. And I really wish that instead of being Sith fighters attacks ignore protection against debuffed enemies, it was just Sith fighters attacks ignore protection, period. Like, because it's incapable of scoring critical hits, and its damage is so pathetic. Like, it literally only does like 25,000 damage on a basic, which, and that's if it's against a low protection or low armor enemy. Against a tank, it's doing like 16,000 damage. Why does
so less than Yoda?
Exactly. So yeah, right. So if. The one way that they could really improve the Sith fighter is, one, give it the ability to crit, or I would settle with allowing it to ignore protection at all times. Because let's be realistic, is the Sith fighter being able to do 13,000 damage against a tank that has 90,000 health really that big of an OP? Like, does it really make it that OP? No. And I guarantee that the only reason they made it only ignore protection against debuffed enemies is so that you couldn't use the Sith fighter to just give all of your Sith allies first time, you know, the first move every battle, which in all honesty really isn't that much of an advantage, because if they really want Sith to be viable in arena, which clearly they're trying to make some steps towards that with adding a tank for the Sith faction, then shouldn't they be trying to give the Sith some way to get that tactical advantage, at least from the very beginning of the battle? Granted, as the battle rolls on, there are going to be, you know, different ways that the enemy can counter, or that you could counter an enemy that's using Sith and everything else. But I feel like they have so many missed opportunities, to coin a phrase there. That they could have capitalized on. I know, it's my my tongue in cheek when I want to talk about, you know, things that I feel like could be better. But yeah, I feel like the Sith Fighter was such an underwhelming ship. The B-28 has an interesting kit, but just lacks what it really needs to become arena meta.
Can it survive a triple hit from the Geonosians? Or is it gone right away when a spy goes?
So I don't have a Geonosian fleet to test this against.
Got it. I think that's my, like, if you put it out there right away, I'm pretty sure that health pool, and if it doesn't have the defense up, type of thing, there's a good chance it's gone before it does anything. But
yeah,
I bet a 3-star will die.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
definitely. It's there's no way it's going to be arena meta until players have it at 7 stars. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. I mean, even Houndstooth, for as good as it is not really capable of competing at high level arena unless it's, you know, 5, 6, 7 stars.
Yeah,
for sure.
And that's part of what's really frustrating is that why would they make Houndstooth so OP where you're like, I don't know why they put all this into a single ship with the boosted tenacity, the constantly protection for 2 turns. Why can't they throw a bone to some of these other ships that they're coming out with? Because it makes you not care about the other ones when Houndstooth owns all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the truth. And I feel like the bounty hunters have so much better synergy than, I mean, even this pathetic attempt at creating a Sith synergy.
Yep.
They're getting there. You'll just see. You'll see.
Eh, maybe.
No. All right, let's go to number 2 headline for today. And I assume we'll have lots to say on this one as well. But we don't have to assume, because just going over his kit is a lot. So, Sarah, take a big drink, because you're going to have a lot of talking to do. if assuming you can look it up on the internet, unlike Howie. He's still figuring that stuff out. So
I have it pulled up. I also have my water bottle next to me, because this is a mouthful. So Jedi Knight Revan. First thing I want to point out that I find really interesting is in the kit, his synergies listed right off the top. There's no KOTOR tunes listed in his synergies, which I find hilarious given his leadership ability, but we'll get to that. Okay, so his basic ability is Ferocious Charge. Final text reads, he deals special damage to the target enemy. This attack deals 25% more damage to dark side enemies. If the target is marked, Revan gains 20% turn meter. Basic. So he has 2 specials. His first special, Master Strategist, reads, deal special damage to all enemies. Revan dispels all debuffs on Jedi and Old Republic allies. Then Revan heals all Jedi and Old Republic allies by 10% for each Jedi and each Old Republic ally. Revan gains critical damage up and foresight for 3 turns. Swap turn meter with target other Jedi. Oh man, I'm really gonna need that water.
that was the small special. Yeah.
I know. Second special, direct focus. So this is his first of 3 Zetas. The Zeta'd text reads, inflict buff immunity and marked on target enemy for 2 turns. These effects can't be resisted, copied, or dispelled. Increase target enemy's cooldown by 1, reduce their turn meter by 50%, and stun them for 1 turn. This attack can't be evaded. Call all Jedi allies to assist, dealing 50% less damage. And marked is basically just a forced taunt, like death mark. Which is really quite fun. Okay, here's his big ability, his leadership. General of the Old Republic, also a Zeta. At the start of battle, Jedi and Old Republic allies gain +5 speed, +5% critical chance, and +5% offense for each Jedi and each Old Republic ally. Jedi
and that's
allies.
That's the end of it, right? Like, it's just that. Yeah, like, that would be
that's
solid
it.
Enough.
That would be great.
The rest of it is actually just footnotes. We They're not important at all. Jedi allies begin the battle with Tenacity up for one turn, while Revan is in the leader slot and not the ally slot. Why would you even write that in your leadership ability? units are immune to bonus turn meter effects from leader abilities until the start of the first turn of battle. Whenever a Jedi ally attacks out of turn, they recover 20% of their max protection and deal 35% more damage. When a Jedi ally uses a basic ability on an enemy with bonus protection, reduce the target enemy's max health by 10%. Stacking doesn't work against raid bosses. Like how they threw that in there. At the start of each Jedi ally's turn, they gain strategic advantage if no ally has strategic advantage. A Jedi ally with strategic advantage can't be countered. And strategic advantage basically allows them to dispel all debuffs on target other Jedi ally. They gain strategic advantage and assist using their basic ability, the ally that they've targeted, that is. This character uses their basic ability and loses strategic advantage. So you're basically just passing it around your team. His first unique savior, while this is not a Zeta, while another Jedi ally is active, Revan ignores taunt. The first time another Jedi ally would be reduced to 1% health, if Jedi Knight Revan is active, they recover 100% of their max health and protection, gain critical hit immunity for two turns, and take a bonus turn. While Revan is in the leader slot and not the ally slot, he can also be saved by Savior. And his second unique hero, Final Zeta, Jedi Knight Revan is immune to stun and ability block. Revan has plus 10% tenacity, health steal, max health, max protection, critical hit avoidance, defense, and critical damage. Other light side allies gain half these bonuses while Revan is active. These bonuses are doubled while Revan is in the leader slot and not the ally slot. I'm gonna have a drink of water.
Good work.
Okay.
So
that is a lot of stuff. No. Yes.
Don't we have a Wampa in the Room segment? Yeah. Or something.
Oh, you bet. That's some more Revan for the second week in a row. He's our Womp in the Room for the much division he's bringing to the community. So we'll just it seems to be dying down a little bit, but it's still there for sure.
Should we hold off on our criticisms until then?
Oh, like, no. Whenever. Okay. Feel free to let it out when you need to.
This is a safe place. This is a safe place to talk.
Yeah.
I'll save mine for the most part for now.
All right, go for it.
I'll say a couple things now. So it seems like they took three different legendaries and just mashed them all together and said, here's the most OP tune, give us your money.
Right.
It's a lot of stuff in there. The using it, because I have it, so I'm using it, and this is like the fourth time that I've read this and playing it for 3 days, and I still was like, oh yeah, that one also gives critical hit immunity there. Like I'd forgotten those like three things. One time I did like his AOE, and he was almost dead. And he hit them all. And it's like, oh, yeah, that brings them all back to 100% health. I totally forgot about that. That's like thing that is used in addition to
I just
to
had
it.
the same like moment while I was reading it in my head. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. But that's fine. It's long. Like, it's very wordy. I agree that they kind of just, like, jam-packed a lot of stuff in there. I'm biased because I also have him and I'm playing with him.
All right, good work.
So I'm not mad about it. He can be as wordy as he wants to be. I don't really care. I'm not going to complain.
So he does a lot for the Jedi faction, which is really good.
Yes.
Because I've heard a lot of... Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I really feel like when you read that kit... So two things stand out to me. it seems silly not to include your Old Republic allies that are Jedi, so Bindo and Bastila with him. And it seems like his right-hand man, though, is Grandmaster Yoda.
Yes.
Like, it's almost like JTR and BB-8 to me. I can't see you running Revan without Yoda.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could.
Despite them never interacting in the lore.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But it's just like the way that kit reads, though, like especially depending on how you make up your team and you get Yoda assisting, he's just going to be flying all over the place and gaining his health and protection because of Revan's kit and him attacking out of turn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think he's actually probably the most synergized character that's not also named in the kit. So for example, like JTR and BB-8, like they have their own specific ones,
right?
Or Chase, Howie's favorite, you know, they kind of say like, while Baze is in there, you add this or do that. There is no specific like, while Yoda is there, this happens. But it is like, you have Revan and you have Yoda, and the other three can vary quite a bit. But I haven't seen you could absolutely do it, given how powerful Revan is, but Yoda just makes the whole thing go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a little steam engine.
So he definitely fills a need in the Jedi faction. Because before they had a few good characters, like Grandmaster Yoda with his rework, really good, but not enough to make an impact where you want them to be your arena team or you're excited about using them in the Sith raid. I mean, I know there are teams that do well, but I guess none of it has had such a huge impact like Revan will have on the game.
Yes, I agree with you.
Like, one of the things I like is each faction has at least one token leader that will add speed. Like, we finally got Jango, so that now the bounty hunters, they have a leader that adds speed if you need that extra boost. Night Sisters.
Well, not against Revan, but yeah, continue.
Yeah. Night Sisters. Each of those leaderships have plus 30 speed. Tarkin for Empire, plus 30 speed. So it's good that the Jedi finally got, even though they already had Bastila that does a form like it, they included a new leader that anytime a leadership adds speed, it's always a go-to for arena or territory war.
Mm-hmm. And his, it's like, not only does it add speed, but you're adding crit chance and offense. So it's just like this jam. It's exactly what you said. It's this jam-packed ability of multiple people in one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And clearly it is... he's designed to be the counter to Treya.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. He's fun. I took him against Treya. It was fun. I was so happy.
Because you can look at the leadership. When a Jedi ally attacks out of turn, they recover 20% max protection. That offsets and like, the health they lose from Treya's leadership.
And I should specify, I took a gear 8 Revan with crap mods against Treya. And I went for a stroll in the park with it. Like, it's ridiculous how well, I don't even want to say how well it works. It was just a steamroll.
Yep.
So maybe a little OP.
Okay, what is everybody's favorite thing about the kit?
Howie, let's start with you.
I actually probably, maybe I'm the only one that does not have Revan right now.
I don't either. I'll have it tonight.
I will not have it unless I manage to get more than about 900 shards in the next couple hours. I think I'm short.
You can do it.
We believe in you, Howie.
So that being said, the biggest thing for me is about the kit, is what you've already mentioned, which I was an early and often Jedi lover. And I ran Zeta Qui-Gon for months in Arena after it was popular, just because I wanted to, and I thought it was a cool kit, and I loved trying to make it work. And I maxed out useless Jedi that were horrible, but I wanted them to be good. So I love the fact that Jedi are relevant in every phase of the game now. And that, to me, is the most important thing. And I'm excited to one day try him myself. And he is OP in Arena, and I am annoyed to fight him. But that's okay with me because it's fine. But I love the Jedi, the Jedi synergy, the Jedi reinvention, and hopefully some more Jedi reworks and some new uses for them is the best part of the kit for me.
What have you used against him, and have you had any luck with it?
I've been testing a whole slew of stuff in Arena now just to see. I've tried the droids. I've tried the Palpatine Sith reworks. I've tried Night Sisters, playing around with how I can get different comps to work, and some work and most don't. And that's okay. It's all part of the gameplay. So it's all good by me. And you know, I don't spend anything on the game. And this tune was a hard one to get, and he should be really good. So I'm happy about it. I think it's great.
That's the most tempered response I've heard from
the community.
The whole thing on Revan. Yeah, so kudos.
It makes me happy. He's such Howie, you're such a good sport.
Well, I mean, here's the deal. As a person who doesn't spend in the game, it's all gravy for me. I just enjoy the game. And if I get a guy that's really good, or I don't get a character that is really good, I'll get them eventually. And so even in this case, it's like I'm still farming these tunes every day. And it's like I know 3-6 months from now, I'll get another chance. The game is very fair in that regard, even if I have to be patient. So
true.
Perfect. Mist, what about you? What's your trials been? Do you have them on your own account? What have you been walking through?
Actually, no. I actually just tweeted out a little bit earlier today where I am sitting on Revan.
You just got a new Twitter follower. I'm like going right now to add you to the thing. So
yeah,
but continue.
It's I have most of my Old Republic at 5 stars. T3 is only 4 stars right now. So I obviously do not have Revan, so I will be getting him next time. But his kit is redonkulous. About the only thing I am happy about is the fact that he doesn't have such easy criteria for obtaining him, which means that right now my arena is not flooded with a whole bunch of Revans. As of last night, there were only 13 Revans on my arena shard in the top 50. So that means that I didn't really have to worry too much about fighting Revan. I haven't really had to resort to finding counters, which is nice. I did run into a Revan on my climb yesterday. I don't really call it my arena climb because I just kind of do a couple battles after work each day. But I did have a Revan in my way, in my path, and so I decided to give it a shot with my Treya team. And so I ran my Sith Triumvirate with, I decided to use Thrawn instead of Enfys Nest, because Enfys kind of loses a little bit of her pizzazz with a Revan team. So I decided to use Thrawn instead. My Thrawn is gear 12 plus. He's the only character that I have both pieces of gear 12 plus on, because he gets stupid fast. With the mods that I have on him, which only consist of 2 6E mods, he is at 304 speed, I believe.
Nice.
So he's very fast, and I was able to actually, believe it or not, outspeed the enemy Revan. So I was surprised that I wasn't able to outspeed everybody, but I was able to get an early fracture off. And I was actually able to beat the team. It was a pretty cookie cutter. It didn't have Jolie Bindo, which I've heard makes the team a lot more difficult to beat on defense. And so it didn't have a Zeta Jolie. It was running the Revan, both Yodas, Ezra, General Kenobi, I believe. Or it might have been Old Ben. I can't remember if it was Old Ben or General Kenobi. But I ran that, and I actually had no difficulty beating the squad. Now, granted, they did get their focus off very early on Treya and absolutely just destroyed Treya. She died almost instantly, so I wasn't able to get an isolate off or anything like that. But it wasn't as hard or as painful as I thought it would be. So I'm pleasantly surprised. If you don't have a Jolie Bindo on the enemy team, well, actually, even if you do, Nihilus Annihilate against Revan kills the team. You no longer have to deal with Savior. And if you use Annihilate, Revan does not flash back up to 100% health, because Annihilate doesn't bring an enemy down to 1 health or 1% health. It kills them outright. It eliminates an enemy character that cannot be revived. So even if they have a Jolie Bindo, Revan is dead. He stays dead. So Nihilus is kind of an Achilles heel to a Revan lead, but you've got to be able to get that Annihilate off. That's the kicker, is you've got to be able to get the Annihilate off. Sion's ability to strip buffs is amazingly helpful against Sion or Revan. So you still kind of have the Triumvirate still is effective against Revan, but they're not OP. Like, Revan is a very formidable opponent, and rightly so. I mean, he is very difficult to obtain. There's a very, very, very large portion of the player population who does not have Revan right now. That doesn't disappoint me, because it just means that I don't have 50 Revans in my top 50 in arenas right now, and I likely won't tomorrow or before the next time he shows up. And the next time he shows up, I will be prepared. So I am actually going to start stockpiling gear. I'm going to stockpile 3 full Zetas so that when he does come, yep, I will have the ability to take him, hopefully, to gear 12 when he shows up on my doorstep again. So that's
it. Get your 400 Carbontes ready.
Oh, yeah. I will have 100 Carbontes, and I will not touch them. I will basically be like, okay, so what do I have? I have 532 Carbontes? No, I have 132 Carbontes. Yep.
That's how I think about it with those things. So we're on the same page with that.
Yeah.
What I found really interesting about the event is he was so hard to obtain because of the amount of time you had to farm and where these characters were farmable and their terrible, terrible drop rates. But the actual event itself, you didn't need very high gear. Like, one of my guildies, Voxen, did it with a gear 6 mission. Like, and I did it without mods on T3. So it wasn't, by all means, a very difficult event in term. I did it. Okay, this sounds very, very arrogant. I did it as a, like, I was like, I'm going to do this without mods and see how poorly it goes. And I beat it. And I was like, oh, okay. So it was very surprising to me, though, that the actual event seemed so easy. It was the farm that was the hard part of actually having all of those characters at 7 stars.
And were you okay with that, or did you want it to be a hard event to really earn it?
I mean, part of me wanted to really earn it, and like, part of me also expected to have to maybe swap mods or try and get the RNG right, like kind of how I did with Thrawn, for instance. And instead, I hit auto and I cooked myself some breakfast, and I had a Revan waiting when my eggs were done. Like,
were they good eggs? That's what the
they were.
Part is.
I put a little paprika good. In them. Yeah,
marvelous.
Yeah. So it was very. I found that to be very interesting about it, especially considering we just came off the Chewy event, which was ridiculous.
So My feedback on that is, if you guys remember the Jedi training Rey event, you didn't need the veterans geared up at all. I mean, I did it with gear 8 veterans that I don't even think either of them had mods on them. You could do it. And the nice thing about that one was the fact that most people had scavenger Rey at least at gear 10, because she was so powerful early on in the game's life. And so almost every player took her to at least gear 10, because I think gear 10 was the max when she was introduced to the game. So you had that benefit of, okay, I've got this character that I've had for forever. She's always been a very powerful character in the game. And so, all I had to do was put good mods on her, and you could pretty much mop the floor with that entire event. As opposed to legendaries, like you said, the Thrawn event was very hard. You had so it was hard if you kept your Phoenix at gear 8, which is where I recommend people to keep their Phoenix if they don't intend to really make Phoenix a big part of their roster. Because you can beat Thrawn very easily with gear 8 Phoenix. I have tons of comments on my Thrawn guide telling just tons of testimony as to the ability, right? So as long as you've got good mods, that's the key. Is you got to have good mods. So for legendary events, I understand that the difficulty tweaking is just a little bit on CG's side, whereas I think they kind of make these more heroic journey style events more cinematic. The journey to get CLS was a little bit more difficult. I mean, you kind of had to do Stormtrooper Han. You had to either buff, mod him for a little bit more protection, or maybe have him at gear 8, 9, or 10 even to make it a real cakewalk. But then again, you had those characters in your inventory for so long that if you were a long time player, that you usually had those characters geared up already. The fact that they kind of gave everybody a little bit of leniency, I think, after dumping all of the gear they had into their bounty hunters to get Chewbacca, I think was a good decision on CG's part. If you're gonna push, if you're gonna put this massive panic farm on everybody, at least take the gear out of the equation and give people the reward for the investment in shards versus gear. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, with JTR and CLS, specifically JTR, because that's the one that I remember really well, you had the vets that you were farming on those whatever nodes that they were on.
Yeah, the 16
energy. Yeah, the 16 energy. It was terrible.
Ship was down my spine every time I think about it.
I was going to say, that brought back bad memories for you.
Bad memories. But you also didn't need the vets after tier 5, whereas with this one, you needed all 5 of them. Or in the game ever again. Mm-hmm. Or, you don't. Well, now, with that lovely smugglers event.
Okay. Still don't need the map, but continue. Yeah.
But with this one, you needed all 5 Old Republic tunes at tier 6 and tier 7. So I thought that was
So I only got to tier. I only got to tier 3. So.
Oh, spoiler alert!
They're there too. Yeah. I had my 7-year-old did it for me. So
see?
I think they were all still on the. Mainly full protection. I'm pretty sure the Revan could probably do it himself, like the computer supplied one, without him.
Yeah,
so
probably.
He enjoyed that. So it was the first time I had turned on music in the game, like almost ever.
I didn't
know they make those sound effects. Like, okay, that's cool. Now we can turn it off again. But yeah, it was for the kids, for me, for to get it on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but I enjoyed the event. I'm probably I have and enjoy the Old Republic, so I already had 4 of them at least at gear 11 to start with, so that wasn't ever going to be a problem for me. But I was still glad that it wasn't a bounty hunter type event on top of it.
Yes.
To make that happen, so I was good with that. Sarah, what was your input as far as straight cash homie into Revan? What did you take to get there? Or is this on the download that you have to hide from somebody?
No, I'm not hiding it. I'm openly admitting that I bought packs. I bought crystals.
You don't have to say it like that. That's totally fine. I was just curious. That's great. Good for you.
I didn't want to miss it. I was kind of hoping I would get lucky with some of those $6.99 packs, and I did not get any
cough, 80
Sergi. Drops like Sergi did. I mean, I got some decent ones. Like, I got 20 and 25s of Mission, which I was happy about because her farm was awful. But I spent, I'm trying to think of what the total, I think I spent like the average, probably about 300 to get them.
And you're happy with it so far?
Yeah. Like, I haven't dropped them in Arena yet just because my Jedi team is not fully geared yet. And I'm kind of, I want to wait until the end of the event because my shard does not play nicely with me, so I'm just going to surprise them. I did use
Good
him.
You.
Thank you. I did use him in Territory War already on offense, and just cakewalked that Treya team I mentioned earlier. And I've used him in the Sith raid already at Gear 8, and even at Gear 8, it's insane. Like, I was astonished by, for a raid that requires so much RNG, it was almost like he eliminated it. That's how I felt, at least. I was like, this is just taking the stress right away from my... I used him in P2, and I was quite happy. Got my run in and went on at gear 8. Like, I was like, okay, this is great. We're good. Once you're gear 12, I'll be even happier. So I'm hoping I will drop him in Arena next week. I've already got my mods planned. I plan to destroy my entire roster and pull mods from everybody to make the ultimate Jedi Arena team and see what happens. Oh yeah, it's going to be, I figure if I invested in it, I'm going to just use it and get all of my, hopefully get all of my crystals back. But I know people who did it free to play. I have a guildie, Jinx, he did it free to play. He knew as soon as he saw Kodar, as soon as he saw the marquee events start, he started hoarding his crystals. And he did the whole thing free to play. So, I mean, you could do it. Didn't you do it, Faye?
I did. Yep. So that was my whole thing from July as well, was doing them to try to get it without spending anything. Actually, when they announced the event, I was in the, like, well, I'll get a couple packs. Like, that's not a problem. And then there was just so much consternation against it and being like, this is impossible type of stuff. And I was like, no, now I'm going to see if I can get it without spending anything. And it worked out. And I was like, I enjoyed the grind, even though it made my payouts a little extra stressful because I really had to get top every day, in the top couple to make my crystals work out nicely from what I was calculating. I ended up being a couple days ahead of what I expected, but it was certainly something that I enjoyed doing, and was whatever. Why I would play the game, I guess, was to do this and plan all these things out, and I, from when they announced him, was saving Carbontes and stuff like that, and I would have easily had it if it hadn't been for Chewie. So that was kind of the, like... those were pretty close together, but I made it work, and it just made it, I don't know, a little more exciting as well. So I enjoyed doing it. It's possible to get without spending money, but it's not reasonably achievable. That was only to be done by people that spend way too much time of their adult lives on a mobile game based on a movie from 40 years ago, aka me. So, that's how you have to look at it from that. You have to enjoy the grind, or it's definitely not worth it. Spend a little money instead. Because if you look at it, like, for you, like, that's how much a marquee character costs. But you got the marquee character to end all marquee characters, and Jolie, and Bastila. T3 is awesome. There, Zalbar is a great in Scoundrel Team mission, and him together, I mean, that costs a couple Zetas, but they work out nicely. Like, you get all six of these for the cost of Django, well, if you will. So that's a nice part.
It's funny you say it, because you're not the first person I've heard phrase it that way either. Is, you know, you can spend $300 on one single marquee character, or you can spend $300 and get five marquee characters and a legend or a hero's journey.
Which
ancient journey, pardon me. Pardon me. So they made the farm, I think, fairly reasonable when they slashed that refresh to 25 crystals. I was refreshing nodes 2 times a day.
Yep, same here.
Yeah, I had no issue with that. I also, though, already knew going into it that I was only going to farm them to 50 out of 100. Bastila and Jolie aside, because they were fairly easy for me to get to 7-star, but the rest of them, I knew there's no point in me stressing myself out when I found that the packs that they put in the shop with 50 shards were a fairly good deal.
Especially if you needed all 5.
Yeah. I was like, this is fine. Yeah.
So, Sergi, tonight you're still getting it? I wanted to come back to that. Yes. That's awesome. All right. Where are you at? What do you need that's left?
So I need 7 more shards of Mission and 2 more shards of Zalbor.
Oh, but, man.
Yes.
The way my daily reset goes is that I have 1 hour from when I get the next day to farm those last 9 shards. And to do the tier 7 of the event.
Can you imagine if they had the like server problems that they had earlier today at that time?
Oh man, I'll cry.
Or if I fall asleep, because I gotta stay up late.
We'll make sure to call you at that time.
But yeah, it's exciting. Good luck. I tried to do it free to play as well, because my whole account, I haven't spent any money, but had some very kind, generous guild mates that they kind of force fed me the last bit I needed.
And this is why Count Dooku asked me what platform you were on.
Yeah. Well, I'm slowly figuring out who the people were, but yeah. So they were really nice. And
oh, did I just out them?
You had to Count Dooku.
Sorry.
I've been trying to farm as effectively as I can, but Bastila and Mission, I never got any of them out of any of those $6.99 packs. So I was still short. I want to say probably 4,000 crystals short. Mm-hmm. So if I was advising somebody to try and prepare for the next surprise, legendary, ancient journey, I'd say, to be safe, stock up on 20,000 crystals and then just try to farm effectively and use those $6.99 packs. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I might have been able to do it with only 15,000 stocked up crystals in addition to each day doing well in arena, not throwing crystals at gear or anything like that.
Or Sith but, Marauder.
Yeah. Or a ship that's going to go to a node that takes you 6 months to. But so I mostly used the 2,000 crystals to get the 25 shards of Bastila from the weekly shipments. Those are really helpful now for just buying in bulk, not having to worry about the shop being lucky dropping it.
Yeah, and you know it's there. I think that's almost more important. Yeah. It's like, here's this. These are in this shop. I'm going to have that to go fall back on in case, or even if you plan on that from the very beginning, don't have the unknown.
Yep. And so, yes, I will, now that I bought that for Bastila, I've been able to farm Mission just doing tons of refreshes, even some of the 200s. And so at 11 o'clock tonight, my time, I'll be able to go in there with an hour left of the event. It'll be pretty cool. It'll be exciting how down to the wire it is.
Excellent. Are you gonna record it?
I am.
Put it up. Okay.
And I'll probably put it in the video version of this podcast.
All right.
As excellent background footage. Yeah.
Put a little timer, like a countdown timer of how long until the event's over.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for you.
Thanks. Yeah. It was painful. I've like this whole last week, just slightly more and more getting sad that I'm so close, but the goalpost, I don't think I'm making it in time. But then those few people donated to help me get that last little bit. So it'll be cool.
Excellent.
You got good guildies.
Yeah.
Not me. I didn't do it, so. They asked. I said no. They didn't. I'm just kidding.
And then for Revan's kit, what I think is really cool, just one of the many things, is I like his hero unique.
Yes. And that,
how it adds these things to any light side.
Number crunch 2.0.
Right, right. Yeah. I do want the designers to continue making characters specific to factions, not to do like all allies get this, because it did cause too much of a problem with Rex and Kenobi, other leaderships that, you know, once you get these five tunes, there's no way to break it up, because if you release another great tune, they can just fit under that leadership. So I'm glad when they narrow down kits to only affects Jedi or only affects Old Republic. But sometimes things like this, it is fun to have all allies get health steal, max health, max protection. Because I'm thinking, you know, you can take some of your characters that don't have any health steal or don't have quite enough, and they've now got plus 5% or plus 10% health steal. That's really interesting. Can really open up new possibilities.
I think there's a lot to be theory crafted from him yet, for sure. All right, we'll head on to the other news and maybe even come back to a little Revan as we move along. But number four for today, there was a little bit of downtime, so I tried to log in over lunch and couldn't get anything. Then went on my day. I think some people, it happened at worse times than for me, so I feel like it's been a long time since we had one of these. I know we went through a period where there was like every other week they were giving us crystals for the whole thing being down, but some people couldn't log in, and we got 250 crystals and some event tokens out of it. And then they also have some downtime planned for next week, like 30 minutes or something like that. I assume just back in. But if your game was down today or yesterday by the time we post this, it was all part of their master plan, I guess, to give you 250 crystals, which...
Yes.
Yeah, we'll work out, bit. I guess. That last little bit!
Yeah, that's important for getting those in there when you're crunching every single one of them. Like, trust me, I know. I just went through it. Number five, getting the... Like, when I got that 1,000 crystals from Crumb for the... Night Before Chewie poem or whatever, like that thousand crystals was money right now. Like, this was the time I needed it the most in this game by far. So
you wrote that?
Yeah, that was me. That was my
no way. I found that on Reddit and I shared that on Twitter. I shared that in my Discord.
Oh, right. I appreciate that.
That thing was awesome. That was the coolest Reddit post I had read on the subreddit in a long time.
That makes me happy. I'm smiling.
That had to be like one of the few times that I actually got on Reddit. Like, that's awesome. Yeah, that is so fun. Cool. That was a really awesome poem, man.
Well, I appreciate that. Anyway, that was just, I was excited for Chewie that day, and that, I don't know, it just came to me. So it took me like 25 minutes. It was fun. I had fun. Anyway, the 1,000 crystals was nice to get back to that.
Do one for every holiday, Faye.
I thought about doing a, like, 'twas the night before B-28, and then just having like one line being like, and nobody gave a damn or something like that. Number five. So you're not much shard shuffling this week. Everyone's waiting for Houndstooth to come along. I don't know, a lot of people, but or Aura, but they have it put Emba on the Dark Side 8C. Everyone's excited. That's another Dark Side one. Yeah, that's what I've been. Now it's just been all Dark Side, and I buy like three Light Side for some Carbontes, and then go back to all the Dark Side hard ones. But
so you wouldn't have that problem if you were still farming Zalbar.
that is true.
It's true.
I didn't think of that. Damn it! I should have waited. You're right.
See, now I've got Light Side boss. Builds I can do every day for the next I don't know, however many months.
Yeah, when you're refreshing it two or three times a day, that kind of cuts into your expending your Light Side grind.
Exactly.
And then number six, calendar. This is they don't have too much. Like, right now, we have a Light Side territory battle going on, and the B28 does come tomorrow, so a nice little event to have. And then not too much, just some small events that we know of. Maybe we'll get to that in a second coming up. So that brings us to our I Love You, I Know segment. Mist in particular, I think we try to be pretty positive on our channel, but so we know it's easy to get jaded by this game, especially when there's times not getting Revan or Chewy or other reasons that the thing is down during your payout hour or whatever, but there's a reason we're still playing it after 2.5 years. So we like to talk about something that we enjoyed over the past week or two. I think we've already gone over some of it here, so we'll, if you're still thinking of something, we'll go over a little less. Start with Sergi. What's what have you enjoyed over the past week or so?
I have enjoyed getting the 5 Old Republic tunes up, because most of the marquee characters that just go to a hard node, you know, it takes a long time when you're conserving, but because of the push that makes you spend all your crystals and all that you've been saving, I now, much quicker than I expected, have these tunes that I thought were exciting built up. So I'm really excited to test out some mission and Zalbar synergy. I'm going to be extensively testing them with a Vader lead to see if we can do some new raid stuff going on with them.
Really? And
really, yeah. Really?
That was like our first, that was our first episode, as their kits were announced. And we were like, oh yeah, I'm so excited for this in 6 months. But it's only been like 3.5 or 4 because of it. So joke's on us.
Yeah. I think a lot of them are really fun. Like, even in other areas. Zalbar, he's got Armor Shred, which up to now has only been Sabine. And I don't remember the cooldown, but I don't think it's a very high cooldown.
I think it's 3.
It's just not guaranteed like Sabine's is, but I haven't had it not stick.
Okay, yeah. And then he does 2 dots on his basic. And if you get the Zeta on mission, every time Zalbar goes, mission assists and does a dot. So when Zalbar does his basic, that's 3 dots on whatever enemy you're attacking. So I'm excited and love the dot stuff, the way it works. So I can't wait to test that out. So that's what I'm excited about. Perfect. Even though our guild needs to have some downtime where we can test out stuff. Like, ever since they updated where you can set a start time to a raid, which is really good. I'm glad they did that. But now it starts and you have no time beforehand to test.
Right, because you're just locked out in that join period.
Mm-hmm. And then when you go in, it's like our phase 1 of the hat takes 2 minutes or something like that. Especially with Reddit today. It was super fast. Because I wanted to test it too. Like, I wonder if I can get far with it. Like, nope, that was gone. I'm just going to put it on the auto.
whole raid was down within 30 minutes. And I was in the middle of a conversation, then looked at my clock.
That was your problem. You were talking to real people.
I know. I was not focused on
that. You should know better than this game.
So it was like 6:04, and I'm like, oh no, the raid started 4 minutes ago.
I hope you said that out loud to the person.
I did the quick wrap up with like, it's been good talking to you.
Okay. I have to go to the bathroom for 4 to 30 minutes, depending how this goes.
This is my scheduled bathroom time. It's consistent time. I'm on the clock here.
Yeah.
And we laugh because it's true. And
yeah,
you know
yeah, no, that's exactly.
Yeah.
There's no argument.
Well, it goes back to the game being down earlier, and people were like, top five things to do when Star Wars is down, and number five was leave the bathroom.
That's true.
It's true, though. Your family missed you.
Oh, my God, I'm crying.
There was a Reddit post. There was a Reddit post.
Yeah.
Like, go outside, talk to people.
Yeah. Leave the bathroom. Oh, man.
All right, Sarah, what have you enjoyed then, other than this conversation about the game? Or you can just share this.
This one.
Okay.
The last couple of weeks, so other than Revan, I'm really excited. I will say, overall, as a guild, post-merge for us, so we've got a lot of new Sith people new to the Sith raid, to heroic Sith raid, I should say. And when we first did it about 6 weeks ago or so, it took us, I think the first one we did took about 19 to 20 hours for us to kill. And last night we killed it in less than 5, and I was so excited because we're so close to getting it back down to before midnight, and I can go to bed at a reasonable hour. <Yeah. laughs> But it was good. I really enjoyed that. It's nice to see how much progress people are making, and it was, I think, also a lot of it had to do with Revan, just how much progress people have made and how much their scores jumped. It was really nice to see. So yeah, that was good. And I really liked taking Treya out in one shot in Territory War a couple days ago. That was a lot of fun.
That's fun. All right, Howie, how about you?
I love you, I know segment. It's been one reason I've made myself become more measured per my earlier comments on Revan is it hasn't been the best couple of weeks in terms of accomplishments for me and my guild. We've gotten handled in a couple of territory wars. One week we lost our two wars, the first by 16 banners and the second by one banner.
Brutal.
And we've lost a couple guildies to real life stuff, and I got a 5-star Chewy, but not 7. Still working on my hunters, and of course, no Revan yet. So, but the good news is, I love you. I know I'm hoarding for when I get them, which I will. And I just went over 100 Zeta, my stockpile, as well as 200 Omega. So,
more impressive, I think, is the 200 Omegas.
I'll take that my "I love you, I know" segment, which is whenever I do get them. In the months ahead, I will be ready with the Zeta and Omega and gear. So that's good news.
Yeah, the 1-point loss, that's rough, especially if not everyone was participating in those
tests. And we talked about this before. Territory Wars is so polarizing. I really, really love it. I love using the depth of my roster and really strategizing around every tune, every decision, every mod switch, all of it. And some in my guild don't love Territory Wars as much. A lot of people don't in general. I mean, some just can't stand it. And so that's the great part about the game is that there's a lot of things to do. You can focus where you want. But therefore, it's hard for me when I'm getting all geared up for the war and working it. We're trying to win banners, trying to hold on defense, and you lose by one. It can be a little maddening and saddening.
I like just calling it the war. That means you're into it.
The war.
Yes.
That's right. Get geared up.
Ready for the war. Excellent. Yeah, I mean, we had talked about it. Mine was Revan 2 and the journey to that. I did, if people are interested, I made a Reddit post about, like, that Revan journey from July until now and, like, unlocking him, what I would consider free to play. And I put up a, like, a here's my screenshot of what I've spent so far in Galaxy of Heroes type of thing, and it's like, you know, this year I've put $10 on Holdo, maybe not so good, and Scion in Nest, which were never Nest has never been in my arena, and Scion was 7-star well before it was, so they didn't really factor at all into any crystals that I've ever gotten or anything like that. Put that on to Reddit that I had that, knowing that it would make some people mad. Like, you know, I'm not claiming I'm a free-to-play player, but getting Revan was without some assistance. And it's currently the most controversial post on Reddit over the past week or month or something when you tag it.
Really?
Because it's been looked at by like 8,000 people, and it has like 4 upvotes or something because it has just as many downvotes to cancel it out because of it. So that makes me happy. I like that type of... undermining of some what the people think or get mad about it or not. That just kind of makes me giggle. So that was what I enjoyed about the week for that stuff. And then now that you've had time, Mist, what do you think? What's been good about the game?
So obviously very far from getting Revan. I too was unable to get a 7-star Chewbacca, mostly because I wasn't willing to sit down for 14 hours and wait for RNG to fall in my favor. So instead I decided to just be happy with 6-stars. My Bossk is 51 shards out of 100. Nice. And will be 7-stars before Chewbacca comes back. So I will be ready. He does have a Zeta.
It makes all the difference.
I know.
I didn't have him at the beginning, did have him at the end, and I got it in 2 times. And I was like, man, that saved me so many hours.
That's what I've heard is that, you know, you could either use your OG bounty hunters and pray for RNG, or have Zeta Bossk and just cakewalk through the event. So I, in desperation, hoping that RNG would fall in my favor, I did take my Boba Fett and my Dengar to gear 12. So when the event comes around, I will have a gear 11 Zeta 7-star Bossk with a gear 12 Boba Fett and a gear 12 Dengar to back him up. So I should get it first time go.
That should do it.
I do not believe I'll have any problems with getting 7-star Chewbacca next time it comes around. and he's at 6 stars. Both Zetas, gear 11, because he's just so stinking awesome.
Yeah, agreed.
I did finish my Enfys Nest farm, so I finished that in the last last week or earlier, late last week? I don't know. But that was like one of my like victory dances, was getting her to 7 stars, finishing that hard, hard farm. So now I can actually farm... an Old Republic character with my ship energy that I get each day. So instead of farming Nest, I'm farming, I think, Zalbar right now. So I'm able to reallocate my ship energy without sacrificing on one of the characters that I think behind Thrawn is one of my next favorite characters in the game, as well as a very, very cool character in the Star Wars universe. If you haven't seen Solo, you need to go see it. It's just, even if you didn't like The Last Jedi, just go see Solo once, because Solo is a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It's a fun movie. Just go watch it.
Yeah.
But that aside, Enfys Nest is now gear 12. She has the 3 pieces of gear 12 gear, but gear 12 plus is very few and far between for me because I don't participate a lot in raids, for better or for worse. So the gear 12 plus salvage for me comes very slowly. I have been taking a 100% free to play position on the game since I last spent money in September of 17. So I have been, I guess you could call it, I've been 13 months clean. And because it was very hard. I mean, I really wanted to buy that $10 Enfys Nest pack. I really wanted to buy the Scion pack. I mean, there have been a lot of $10 packs that I'm like, God dang, come on. I had to. And so I've been pretty good about avoiding that. I mean, the Vassal Ashan, I really wanted to get her pack because I threw her into my arena. I mean, I tried her out. I used her at 3 stars at gear 11 Zeta, and I had fun in arenas for a little while. So, I love you. I know would have to be my Enfys Nest. I think that was kind of the best thing that's happened to me this last couple of weeks. And it was a very, very hard farm, very long farm. I got a little impatient, was refreshing her node a couple times here at the end.
Do you do shipments at all? Or this was all from that one stupid ship?
It was. So where you were saving up all of your crystals and spending them on Old Republic, I stockpiled about 8,000 crystals. And then as soon as Enfys Nest hit shipments, I dumped all of them. So
yep.
So I got her to 5 stars through shipments almost immediately. And I don't focus a whole lot of time on arenas, both ships or regular arenas. I try to just stay in the top 50. So I get that 50 shards from ships and 150 from arena. So I get about 200 crystals a day from arenas. So I'm not swimming in crystals on a daily basis. So it's been a slow farm. There was that first time that the Smuggler's Bounty event came around. My Enfys was like 17 shards shy of 6 stars. And so I was like, oh, I want to use her in this event. So I went and spent a few hundred crystals on her node to get a few extra shards because there was an 8 crystal pack in shipments. And I thankfully had just finished a 45 star territory battle. I got like 700 crystals from territory battles and they were gone like that. So I have probably spent, I think, around 9,000 crystals, if probably closer to 12,000 or 13,000, if you included all of the energy refreshes and node refreshes on Enfys Nest to get her to 7 stars. But like I said, she's a very fun character. I use her a lot in arenas, and she's just a fun character in the game. And so while everybody else was agonizing and obsessing over Revan, I was over here just doing my little happy dance for getting Enfys to 7 stars. So that's perfect. My I love you.
Man, it's like we set you up for that or something. That was a good answer to it.
Well, I sat here going, dang, what has happened? That was... Yeah, Enfys. I love Enfys. So yeah, there.
She got some good sneaks.
For sure. Our That's No Moon segment. Maybe we'll keep this a little short. We're going pretty long here, but so the big topic of the show may be smaller. But they went through these two like huge events after having nothing for 9 months, and just want to know like what's next for the game that you guys think without because I for one, I kind of want them to do nothing for a month and just like let me build up the things that are there and spend some time on that. You know, like I think and still think Grievous is coming soon. You know, maybe that Night Sister spirit is just for Halloween, but I think it's more with him coming into Battlefront soon. So I'm all for a Grievous rework, but I would really just like just a couple weeks of nothingness in the game would be nice. But any other thoughts?
Would reworks affect you? That's like true. Farming or anything? Yeah, reworks, you can just welcome those without having to change any plans.
Mm-hmm. But that's not how they do things. They're going to add something else that's here's, like here's Grievous and here's, I don't know, maybe Droidica or some super random IG-86. Yeah, they're going to somehow Tusken Shaman is needed to get Grievous's team rolling or something like that.
Hey, I have my Tusken Shaman at gear 11.
Oh, okay. Well, you guys
because of that heroic AAT team that used
it. That's right. That's right.
if you don't mind, I'll jump in on this. What's next? I would love to see with how much Clone Wars content is coming to Battlefront 2. two very different games, Battlefield and Battlefront. So I would love to see, and I'm dying to see, a Separatist rework. I've been working on that Sith agent challenge quest, and so I took my Dooku to gear 12, so that's kind of an ulterior motive for wanting a certain Separatist rework. But I think that obviously with a Separatist rework, you get the General Grievous rework, so I'm hoping that they don't just go, oh, here, Arnold 2101, here's your General Grievous rework. I'm hoping that they appease the larger player base and say, here is a Separatist rework to make up for the fact that we nuked Newt Gunray a little while back. You know, I mean, so many players invested in Sun Fac long ago when he was really, really good, so I feel like that would really help appease the larger player base, especially the veterans like myself that have a lot of those Separatist characters geared up. The players who have invested in the Geonosians for their fleet arena, maybe give them some way to use the Geonosians outside of fleet arena. As far as the Night Sister Spirit, I think, and I'm hoping and I'm praying that I might be right, that it might signify an impending, maybe not in the next week, because obviously October ends next week, but hopefully this quarter. I hope it's kind of like a hint for this quarter, because we still haven't gotten the Road Ahead blog yet.
Yeah.
I hope that is like a small little treat, like a breadcrumb that says Separatists are getting reworked this year. I think that would be fantastic. So that's my fingers crossed, toes crossed, legs crossed, hope and prayer for what's next.
I feel the same way, and that's exactly what I'm hoping for. So I'm hoping that a lot of people feeling this way in rumors going around about Separatist, that there is truth to it, and that that is what is coming next. Because like a Grievous rework would be great, maybe a Grievous capital ship, because I would really appreciate if the Separatist could have their own capital ship. It could free up Tarkin to be used with the Empire like it's supposed to be. And,
and it would also... You don't like mixing your factions?
Yeah, that was a...
Well, I'm actually hoping, like, with the capital ship of Grievous, that there's a chink in the armor that will make it easier than the Tarkin lead right now. Because I just really hate the Tarkin, Houndstooth, Geo's synergy. So, well, who knows? We'll see. But also, investing in all those Geos, please do something to make them have some more synergy, be worthwhile. Because it sucks having gear 12 Geos that you're pumping gear into just for that one extra point of speed and can't use them in any of the other game modes.
Every territory war, I'm like, yeah, you know what? These guys are all gold. They should do something. Yeah, yeah. And then they get their ass kicked. And it's just like, oh, damn it. I wait, I only use them when it's already been three battles down or something, because I just know I'm going to go in. It's like, look at this. Like, they have these things. This is going to work this time. And then I go like two moves, and it's like, god damn, airplane mode, and flip that on and go on to.
If there's a solo Kanan left or something, you can save him for that. just a three on one gang up.
Yeah.
Howie, hopefully anything for the future you have planned or hoping for?
I like territory wars. I hope they expand the number of squads for the higher end guilds, just because it's fun to use my deeper, you know, tunes, and it's fun to go against weird compositions and down tunes. So I don't know. I guess maybe that might be trickier with all the defense, but more and more I'm seeing the same teams on defense and can beat them on offense, so it'd be fun to you know, have some expansion there. I also like an arena when you have to really have 10 or 15 different tunes geared and modded well, and you kind of switch through, and you can kind of really have a variety of tunes that work in arena. So as long as arena keeps going that direction, and I do think that Revan and Chewie have helped that a lot, along with the trio, to make it give you some options in there, along with the remnants of other squads like Night Sisters that can still show up occasionally. So I like variety, I like change, and like having a tune, like I said, tunes be used in multiple places. I don't have a certain tune I want to see show up, But just keep the variety coming for me.
Perfect. That was, gosh, that was a great segue into the rank and file segment. Mm-hmm. We work it into it, where we talk about the meta and what's going on in the meta report. So when we check it out, obviously this is one of the biggest changing weeks that the game's ever had. So, you know, Darth Treya, as soon as, whatever, 2 weeks ago, she was 67% or something ridiculous like that. And Nihilus was at 90%. And she's still in the lead at 42%. But Jedi Knight Revan, in less than a week, is now at 34%. So he's no joke when it comes to the arena. Mine fell all the way from 2 to number 5 today. So I had to... make sure that I did my second battle to get the dailies in. So he's pretty good. And Palpatine's at 10%, CLS is at 6, Bastila 3, Darth Maul's at 3%. So he's making a comeback. For those of you that don't know, you put in Nest to take the first attack from Revan. And basically, if your Nest is strong enough that can survive the first hit, then that protection will go on there. And then you put no speed on her, and she just sits there and takes all the attacks while you at least get like an isolate or something in, so Treya doesn't die right away. I tried it one time, got crushed because my Nest, unlike Mist, is only at 4-star, and Yoda's still... popped her out with like an 82k hit. I was like, oh well, that was worthless, and I died in like 4 seconds. But so your Nest needs to be pretty solid still to make that happen. And then Talzin was at 1%, and everyone else is at 0. And as far as the characters go, Nihilus is still in the lead, but 56% instead of 90%. I enjoy that. Nihilus is one of my favorite characters in the game, period. But 90% was a little high, and Yoda's at 36%, and Revan's at 34, and they're starting to even some of those out. So it's not the most diverse meta ever, but it's certainly one of the, I don't know, we'll see, better ones is the right answer. So they're getting somewhere. Have you guys seen anything different in your shards, or does that seem to be what you're working on?
One thing I would ask is, if people had more Revan,
yep,
would it be a diverse arena anymore?
No.
Because I don't think there are diverse options against Revan. Especially, like, sure, you might be able to do a Maul thing to beat him on offense, but Revan turns it right back around, and you're dead.
Yep. And then... It is. It's when they're all, when everyone gets Revan, it'll be more on the what Treya used to be. And he can be beaten with the, like, the first time I did it with the Triumvirate, I won, but then lost the next three against the same team. So it just adds a little more, certainly more difficult. At least it was for me. I'm sure there's people that have it figured out a lot better than I do, but he's
pretty
good.
What I've been using is a Talzin lead that does very well at wiping out Revan teams. The only one I've had trouble with so far is a Revan with Chewbacca, where Yoda gets the guard, because Chewbacca just chews through health so much that even with my Daka and Asajj gaining a lot, he just destroys them. So besides that, though, normal Revan teams, or even the ones with Jolee, I've been able to beat, because I have some insane players on my arena with, there's a player with a plus 147 speed on his Yoda.
Nice.
And a plus 144 speed on his Revan. So not even taking into effect the plus 40 speed from the leadership, they're up in the 300 something range before they even get that bonus 40 speed. But I've been able to beat them with my like plus 80 speed Night Sisters, just because of all the revives and turn meter gain they get.
Nice. Yeah, and so similar to other metas too, like the longer Revan is harder to beat, the more people will theorycraft it and then find something, you know, similar to using Thrawn and Magma versus Scion and stuff like that that you wouldn't have thought of before, that so which I enjoy about the game when they have those set up there nicely. Yeah, these are good. I will also back Jolie as a fun person to have on the team, and I like that Revan made him relevant, someone else that someone wasn't using before, that I was always a fan of and really wanted a reason to Zeta. I asked, like, I don't know if you ever said, like, three times, like, can I Zeta Jolie? It's like, no, let's hold off on that. And that they weren't allowing it, but it was just like, yeah, yeah, I should use it there. But then now I was like, oh yeah. So I had four Zetas ready to go, and it was three on Revan and one to Jolie, just like that. And I was like, yes. I was more excited for Jolie's than I was all of Revan's. All right, and last but not least, let's head to Uncle Owen's Moisture Farm to talk about who and what we are currently farming in the game, because everyone knows work comes before going to Tashi Station and picking up power converters. We'll start with our illustrious guest. So, Mist, what are you working on in the game now? Now that the Revan event is over, are you going to stick with Old Republic and get them done first, or are you going to get a couple things and then come back to it? What's your plan?
So I have always been a long time believer in stay on target. Yep. I pull a Jack Porkins and I will not pull up. I'm going to stay on target. I'm going to get my Old Republic to 7 stars because I don't know when they're going to bring it back. And I don't want to be caught with my pants around my ankles, pardon the pun. And so I want to have my Old Republic all at 7 stars. I want to have them set, done, ready to go. My Bossk is obviously very close to 7, so I'm going to finish off Bossk as well. And then after that, I might jump back to some of the stuff that I just have put on my back burner. So solo characters, I'll probably start working on them next after I finish Old Republic, but that's still a couple months away, so at least a month and a half away. So I'm gonna go ahead and stay on target, finish off my Old Republic and Bossk, and be ready for the next time that Revan and Chewbacca come around. That's my current project.
Perfect. Sarah, what are you working on?
So I've gone back to what I was farming beforehand. So I am back on the solo characters, and I am doing Bossk again on Darkseid and Wicket so that I can use whatever squad I want to get those Zetas every month. And if I have energy left, I am farming like 2 shards of Holdo a day. If there's energy, which there usually isn't. I'm hoarding my crystals now because it really hurt the 231.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that's pretty much it. Ship wise, it's Lando's node with the Falcon on it, just because I want to get that ship finished up. I'm kind of hoping they introduce an OG Falcon to the game, especially now that we have OG Chewie. I think that would be fun. And then I'm doing a lot of gear in the fleet table again because my stockpile is gone now, so I'm back into hoarding mode.
Perfect. That's where I spend most of my time too, but it's fun to let it go. Now then, you have to build it back up. Yeah, I agree. All right, and Sergi, what do you have?
I'll mostly be hoarding crystals, but what small amounts of energy I do use to farm, I'll be finishing up my Bossk and Nest that are both 50 out of 100, but like put the brakes on those hard for the Old Republic stuff. And then I will finally get to around doing Imbo. Like, I've been really excited about Imbo, but anything that got released during this chaotic farm for Revan time, I just disregarded it all. So I'll be excited to get my Imbo slowly up.
Perfect. And Howie, why don't you tell them while they're all wrong and what you're doing is the best?
Well, obviously, I've been farming up my Chirrut and Baze shards to maximize those two characters.
Excellent. I knew you would be.
actually, as I shared with Faye the other day, that until Revan, Chirrut was the last character to be unlocked and still is unlocked. Still is not unlocked on my account, so it glows down there. I have the shards for it, but I will simply not do it out of spite.
Oh, I didn't know you had the shards for it. Okay.
Oh, I do. Oh, I absolutely do.
Got it.
But out of spite, he's going to sit there. He's like sitting out in the rain, knocking, and I will not let him in.
Sounds like my Holdo and Rose.
There we go. It's just out of principle of the matter. My farms are very boring and similar to what we're talking about here. I need, in honor of Sir G, I'm still buying Zam shards from the shops when she shows up. So she's at 25 of 100. I need her for the 7-star Chewy. And then I'm also working on Bossk. And then all of the KOTOR folks. So I'm farming all of them. Almost done with Mission, the hardest one.
Yeah.
And then a lot of them are from the light and dark sides. So every day, that's real exciting.
That'll be your answer for the next several episodes as well.
Yeah,
that's good. We can track your progress that way.
The same deal though. It's like I'm not going to panic farm. So I'm going to consistently get those every day. 2-3 shards, 3-5 shards, whatever it's going to be. And so when it comes again, the event, I'll be ready without having to worry about it. So that'll be great.
Excellent. And I'm almost done with it. So yeah, same thing. We did all the Old Republic and now heading back to, which by the way, I was so focused on Revan that I didn't even like realize that, oh yeah, now I have the 7-star T3. Like he showed up in the, like going against the, yeah, Ewok event, and I was like, I'll be damned, there he is, I'm gonna use him. And it was great, it was fun. So that was a nice side effect of, like, it didn't even register because he was the last one. It was just like, who cares, unlock T3, go right to the event. So that was good. And then so Vandor is at, he only needs 2 more shards, and then Embo and Range Trooper are what I'm gonna work on, along with L3 and Kieran Cantina. And I'm most jealous of Mist and his nest. So that's, nest is like gonna be my bugaboo forever. Like I really want to have her at 7 stars, but she's still at 4 and I have like 25 shards or something, so I'm gonna start that train finally. And then Boss is gonna drop and I'll probably switch over to that, and poor Nest will sit there. But thanks for joining, everybody. This was fun, especially Mist. We appreciate you coming on and chatting about with everything. You fit in well here, and we need everyone to go do what I just did and follow him on Twitter and subscribe to his YouTube page. I'll just find it by putting in Mist Passier. So that's the best way. Do you want to give him your handle or anything? Or
actually, it's YouTube/user, I believe. Mist Passier. I don't have any crazy combination of numbers and anything like that. I actually have my channel is, it's just Mist Passier. So you can find me there. YouTube, Twitter wise, it's Mist_YouTube, and Instagram is at I can't even say my own name, Mist Passier. But I primarily just live stream on Thursday nights at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern. Last week, unfortunately, I was out of town. Well, unfortunately for my viewers, fortunately for me, I was in Nashville. It was a lot of fun.
Nice.
But hotel internet is not great for live streaming, so unfortunately it was not able to live stream last week's. But tomorrow night I will be online. I will be live, and I'd love it if you guys join me.
Everyone, check that out. If I have time, I will be. Was a lot of fun. And also, Sir George just put our last episode on his channel today and put some like video with it and had the little logos in there. So guys should definitely check that out, because I know just doing the damn audio, that takes a while to get all that stuff done. So adding all that other stuff in there is a lot of work. So check out his channel anyway. But also, if you just want to listen while you're doing other things at work, you can have it on YouTube while it's going. You can see some other audio eye candy while you do it as well. But
I'm not gonna lie, I use some of Sir Gorgeous videos for some guides. Some good videos out there, man. So yeah,
I really appreciate it.
Very, very good stuff.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone. This was fun. And thank you, listeners, for joining us. And that'll do it. Until next time, Chewie, we're home.